Welcome to Classics Live from Kansas Public Radio. I'm Daryl Brogdon. From a Ruel Joyce recital at Johnson County Community College, here's some Baroque music featuring KU musicologist Paul Layard and his Sunflower Baroque Ensemble.
Thank you. University of Kansas. Elizabeth Bergout, our harpsichordist, is the University of Carolina Norman, associate professor of organ in Carolina at KU, and as you can see, that also allows her to play harpsichord. Joy Laird, standing there as a flute player, is a professional flutist and flute teacher in Lawrence. Dorothy Glick is a PhD student in musicology at the University of Kansas and also holds a master's in flute. Mariana Farah is the associate director of choral activities at KU, a wonderful mezzo-soprano. And Caitlin Laird has a bachelor's degree in vocal performance from the University of Kansas. We now move on to a flute sonata by Pietro Locatelli. Locatelli was a disciple of Arcangelo Corelli, who was the finest Italian violinist of his day. If you were an Italian violinist and a good one, you could get a job in many different places because Italian music kind of dominated the Baroque in many ways. Sonata, of course, is an Italian word. So there were composers with names ending in vowels all over the world. Locatelli actually worked in Amsterdam. And this is a set of six flute sonatas that he wrote. And this is the sixth sonata from that set in G minor. Thank you. aria from the Bach Easter Oratorio, which premiered on April 1st, 1725. I doubt anyone was thinking it was April Fool's Day because it was also Easter. This aria, it's not as joyous as one sometimes thinks of Easter arias. What's going on here is there's actually reference in the text to myrrh, which of course would have been one of the ointments, the spices brought to treat the body. So the translation reads, "O soul, your spices need no longer be myrrh, for only crowning with the laurel wreath will quiet your anxious longing." So it's kind of a reflective Easter text. It's for solo Baroque flute. As you can see, the Baroque flute is made of wood. It has one key. And as you can hear, it sounds substantially different than the modern silver flute.
Thank you.
piece is a trio sonata by Georg Philipp Telemann. Telemann was a direct contemporary of Johann Sebastian Bach in Germany, during his day far better known than Johann Sebastian Bach, and far more prolific. In fact, Telemann is said to be the most prolific composer in the history of the Western musical canon. There are 4,000 works surviving by him, which has led me to tell many of my classes that I'm sure there were actually three people, Georg, Philipp, and Telemann, who were identical triplets and never seen at the same time. Because he actually did far more than just write 4,000 works. He was one of the finest recorder players of his day, played numerous other instruments, and directed music at several different institutions in the city of Hamburg. This, as I said, is a trio sonata, which was one of the favorite types of pieces of the day. You'll notice we have four instruments playing three lines. Musicians really can't count all that well. The top two lines are being played on Baroque flute by Joy and Dorothy. And the bottom line is the continuo part. You'll hear reference in Baroque music to the basso continuo. And what that means is the composer wrote a bass line. And that bass line is played by a melody bass instrument. People with the most taste play it on cello. Then you have the left hand of a harpsichord playing, the harpsichordist playing the same line, and then the harpsichordist is adding chords on top of that bass line. This type of playing goes on to this very day. Jazz bands and rock bands also have a continuo section, they just don't call it that. They might have an electric bass and say a synthesizer doing the same thing that we are doing. But in the last number, for example, Elizabeth was only looking at the bass line I was looking at. She was adding all of the chords from symbols written underneath and by ear. So it's an unusual skill to have today, but at the time, if you were a keyboard player, it was something you had to be able to do because it was simply the normal and accepted performance practice. Most sonatas like this are four movements, slow, fast, slow, fast. And we have no exception here. The second movement we would call a jig if we were dancing. If anyone would like to dance, there's plenty of room right over there. And the last movement we would call a gavotte, based upon the popular dances of the French court during the day. Thank you. Cellos existed, say, during the childhood of Johann Sebastian Bach. The strings are made of gut, dried sheep intestines. You try not to think about it while you're playing it. There's other structural differences in the instrument. There's also no end pin. The end pin didn't come in common use till the second half of the 19th century. There's also considerable differences in the bows, and it all conspires to make it a much softer and sweeter instrument than the modern cello. The harpsichord is not an early piano. The sound production is completely different. You push down a key, it kicks up a jack, and on the jack there is a tiny little piece of plastic which plucks the string. So this is a guitar with a keyboard. I said a tiny piece of plastic, that's what the plectrum is today. At the time, it was actually part of a, you know, the quill off of a feather been used during the Baroque. Our next number is from the St. Matthew Passion, Johann Sebastian Bach, very famous, lengthy work that sets the entire text of the crucifixion sequence. And then in the midst of that, there's all kinds of chorales that are sung and arias that interpret the text for everyone. It's 2.5 hours in length if you do the whole piece. We are not. This is very early in the work. The woman has just come up and dumped the jar of expensive oil on Jesus. Disciples say, why did you do that? Well, that was expensive. The money could have given to the poor. And Jesus says, well, it's not so bad. She's preparing my body for burial. So the rest of the text is actually speaking about, oh, you dear Savior, when your Savior's foolishly protest, this virtuous woman prepares your body with ointment for the grave. In the meantime, let me, with the flowing tears from my eyes, pour water upon your head. So we have this image of oil going down and also tears. And the flutes all the time are playing da 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 ba di da ba da di. So they're oil and water, which just goes to show that oil and water can mix. We then go into the aria, Buße und Reue, which means repentance and regret. Repentance and regret rips the sinful heart in two. Thus the drops of my tears, desirable spices, are brought to you, loving Jesus. And in the aria as well, there's a lot of moments when you might think you're hearing water or oil, and you are.
Thank you.
listeners, we return to the Scherzi Musicali of Claudio Monteverdi. The instruments that Dorothy and Joy are playing at this point, of course, are recorders. The flutes they were playing earlier, we think of as transverse flutes, going out from the mouth like this. Most people have seen recorders, of course, because they're so common in the American schools, but not usually played quite like this. Joy is holding a treble recorder, or a soprano, and Dorothy has an alto. As I said, we're returning to these musical jokes of Claudio Monteverdi, and we're getting two sides of the study of love. The first, dolce lieto spirito, means my sweet sighs. And later you'll hear them referring to their pianti, or their tears. So this is the sad side. And then, oh, Rosetta, che Rosetta means, oh, rose. And it explores various aspects of the happier parts of love. You can say goodbye with Oh Rosetta. Again, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
And that's the Sunflower Baroque Ensemble, with Paul Layard, professor of musicology at the University of Kansas, playing the baroque cello. Joy Layard, a professional flutist and flute teacher in Lawrence, played baroque flute, joined by Dorothy Glick, who is a PhD student in musicology at KU. At the harpsichord, Elizabeth Berghout, who is a KU professor of carillon and organ. Soprano Caitlin Layard has earned a vocal performance degree from KU, and mezzo-soprano Mariana Farrar is the associate director of choral activities at KU. Kansas Public Radio recorded their Rural Joyce recital at Johnson County Community College, February 27, 2017. Chuck Smith is the recording engineer. Cordelia Brown is our producer. And I'm Darryl Brogdon. Thanks for joining us for another Classics Live. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Thank you. One of the Chopin ballades, number one, played by Vanessa Myling Haynes and recorded in KPR's live music studio. This is Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio.